Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies, buckle up. It's showtime. Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Mary had a little lamb, it
went
as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Oh, hell! Less than 24 hours, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, 24 hours. Less than 24 hours. And we're about to find out. Right now, it's about 14 hours. 14 hours. Before we find out whether or not Obama Gare is struck down. That's right. Less than 14 hours. And we find out whether or not Obamacare is struck down. It's over. You know what you're listening to. It's Reese on the radio. That's right. This isn't one of those things where you're on the radio, you're just flipping through, and you might find a station. If you're listening to Reese on the radio on blogtalkradio.com, you came here to listen to him. 2 minutes after the hour, on this Wacky Wednesday, hump day, June 27, 2012. And we are ready to go. Tomorrow, interesting show. But we will talk about today. Because it's only 14 hours, baby. Only 14 hours. Before we find out whether or not Obamacare is unconstitutional.
Well, it just wasn't like we all didn't know that. We know that it's unconstitutional.
But the race for the White House. I mean, the real tone. Will be me tomorrow. Obama wins. Tea Party uprising. Obama loses. Tea Party uprising. Yeah, everything is on the line tomorrow. Everybody knows it. They're excited. It's a big day tomorrow in our nation. It's a big day tomorrow in our nation.
Says a lot about the presidency. Says a lot about what's going on, where we're going to be. Now, my producer, JC, I don't know where he is. He's usually on the phone, like, real quick. Like, he's on there minutes before the show starts.
Well, maybe he'll join us.
But nonetheless, I'm by myself, so that's okay. I know Mike in Florida, our friendly neighborhood white man. He's out in Florida. I know he's listening. I know Edward in Connecticut. I know he's listening. So I acknowledge those two gentlemen. I know they're there. Got some other people. We got our good friend Sal up in Boston. We got Gene Pinkham, our good friend Gene Pinkham. He's out there listening. I know who's out there listening. But everybody knows that tomorrow's a big deal. It's a big deal. And what's going to happen to this country? The tone will be set tomorrow. So there are people out there who got their fingers crossed on both sides. You got conservatives. Strike it down, strike it down, strike it down. You got the liberals. Not jobs. Oh, please, keep Obamacare. Please don't hurt my president. You know who they are. They're out there, they're scared to death. Everybody's worried about what's going to happen. And no matter what happens, it's going to be a big day. And I am excited for it. More excited than you know. More excited than you ever know. You'd ever know. It's going to be a big deal. I think my favorite Negroes out there in Ohio, the Real Talk Blancers, they're excited about tomorrow. I think they're scared to death about what's going to happen tomorrow. I think they're shaking in a collective Timberland boots. They're all scared out there. You know them, Real Talk Blancers. Trust me, just look back at some of our old shows. You can look them up right here on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio and look up our shows where we've had conversations with the Real Talk Blancers. They're worried about tomorrow. They don't want their big black man to be struck down. They don't want to be hurt. Because they know if that Obamacare is struck down, there's going to be a riot, damn it. Because aside from 40s and Nike sneakers, the black people want free health. Free health care. That's right. Other than 40 ounces, Nike sneakers, fried chicken, sweet potato pie, they want their health care. And the Real Talk Blancers are upset about that. They don't want health care struck down because they know if health care is struck down, they will not get their sweet potato pie. The number is 347-308-8701. Let's take a call because I know this is Real Talk Blancers. They sit up there waiting. Wait, who's on the phone with me, Reese, on the radio tonight? Who's there?
Hey, Reese, this is Nefertiti. This is
Nefertiti.
Yes, I'm calling in. I'm calling in. For once, I want to give you honors and respect, man, for doing what you did earlier today on the Donna Colleone show. I was hosting. Many honors to you, brother. I appreciate that greatly. Standing up like you should.
Those phone thugs that were trying to get ridiculous with you.
It's bound to happen, you know. When they see a bunch of strong black sisters, you know, they take their time to try to break you, but then there's no breaking us. We're unbreakable, you know what I'm saying? So they won't stop nothing. They're not, you know, one monkey do not stop the show.
Right. You're absolutely right. I want to make sure that all my audience knows. Listen, Don Corleone, these sisters, I will be honest, I've already monikered you guys, Nefertiti. I've already monikered you. I swear to you, after I got off the air with you today, I said to myself, you guys are the Millie Jacksons of radio.
That is an honor.
Okay, all right. So anybody who knows Millie Jackson, R&B singer, she had a foul tongue. These girls, I mean, you have to be prepared for what you get into. The F word is flying around on their show, but they're real. They talk about politics, but I think you guys are some of the most honest sisters, as they say, the most honest sisters when it comes to the topics you bring up and the interaction that you have with your audience. People hate, and you guys take it. You guys take it on the chin when these people come after you, and I respect that. That's the reason why I said what I said, and for those of you who don't know, let me just break it down to you. Nefertiti was one of the co-hosts on the show. She co-piloted the show today, and we had a couple of knuckleheads who came on your airwaves and said some real reckless stuff. And I said, even though I do not agree with some of the politics of the Don Corleone show, I stand by these women for what it is that they're doing and the effort that they're putting across. I will never have anybody disrespect you for what it is that you do and your freedom of speech.
That's right.
We're supposed to have honest dialogue, agree or disagree, and you guys let me on the airwaves and talk about, you know, my stuff and my mess and what's going on, and you never shut me down, you never cut me off, you never hung up on me, but those people, I won't allow that disrespect. So that's pretty much what happened today. So Nefertiti, that strong black woman that you were today, I stand behind that. You always have my respect.
Oh, I appreciate that so much, Reese. You know, we got much respect for you, too. You know, hey, there's things that we're going to agree upon, and there's things that we're not going to agree upon. But I tell you, like you said, you know, no one gets muted. No one gets cut off on the Don Nicolio show or my show, the Nefertiti Surviving the Game. No one gets cut off because it's about freedom of speech. Man, you have the country and anything we do will never move forward if both parties and both people, you know, whatever line you toe or whatever opinion you may hold or what perspective may be yours, nothing is ever going to move forward as a whole and even as a country unless we have these open and hard discussions, because they're not easy, you know what I'm saying? So that's why we might speak with a very sharp tongue, because, you know, that's how we speak at home. You know, some of us ain't, some of them are more straight-laced than others, some not, but that's all good.
Yeah,
you know?
I'll be honest with you, Nefertiti. I mean, you guys curse up a storm on your show. I don't do it, but
mm-hmm.
you know what? I like the fact that you guys on your show, you allow people the freedom, and you got a strong following. That I give you. When I was on that chat line, I looked at how many people are on your chat line every day. You guys are on what, from noon till 3, right?
Yeah, Don's show is every day. Don's show is Monday through Friday. 12 Eastern Standard. My show, which is on her network, WGAG Radio, I do mine Friday night at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. But Dawn, she rocks it 5 days a week. You know,
yeah,
5 days a week,
but
the woman is strong.
But she is killing it on that show. And when she gets in her mood, she starts screaming and hollering. But you know what I like about her? She's not... You know, there's a lot of people who are just recklessly screaming and hollering. She's got a point to make. That's what I love about her. And your show today, which is a lot calmer than hers. She said, I mean, I'll admit, I love both. I love both of your tones, because
right.
I like her because she gets really animated.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I like yours as well, because you have a very even tone. And your subject matter today, you talked about Quincy Jones,
right.
You know, putting a smackdown on P. Diddy.
Right.
That I loved that conversation, because that's kind of a conversation that a lot of people in the music business who love music like myself, I love that today. I love that that little interchange we had today
right.
about that subject.
Right.
You guys give two different aspects of radio, and I love it. And I, like I said, I am your new biggest fan. I got your back more than you know. You guys are my heroes right now. You're my heroes.
That's beautiful. And we need that. You know, we need for the brothers and sisters to come together and things of that. Or just everybody in general, you know, like I said, all perspectives, all, you know, thoughts. That's what it's about. So I don't want to keep you too long. I'm listening, continue to listen. Is your chat room open?
Well, I can open it now. I barely ever really do the chat room because
okay.
I don't type all that well. But
okay.
you can tell your folks to hit me on Reese on Reese on Radio on
okay.
Twitter.
It's okay.
Reese on Radio on Twitter, and you know they can hit me up and it'll come flat up on my screen and I'll respond. I read everybody's tweets and everything. One
okay.
last thing before you go, because you said
mm-hmm.
something that I thought was really enlightening. It was our last conversation on your show today.
Okay.
When you talked about Obamacare.
Yes.
Because tomorrow's a big day for this.
It is.
Big
it
day.
Is.
What do you think wholeheartedly? You think it's going to get – you think the whole thing's going to be struck down? Do you think part of it? What's your feeling?
If I must say, I really think that it's going to be partially struck down. I mean, it really all depends. If they can – are they able to get one of those justices – because they usually split 5-4 all the time in favor of the conservatives, I must say. But if they get one to flip, I can see it completely going down. But I really do believe that they will only get rid of the mandate. I think because it's still, even though, you know, it polls very negative in certain aspects, there's still parts of that bill that, you know, people appreciate. And
right. And
I just don't see them taking it out completely. But you never know. Hey, that Supreme Court is so unpredictable to a certain extent. On some parts, they're very predictable. But at times, they can be very, very unpredictable. But, hey, you got some strong justices. You know, Alito and Justice Roberts, hey, they got a real tight grip on that Supreme Court. So, I don't know. I say 60-40, it's going to be a split.
Yeah, I agree with you as well, because I'll tell you this. I was stunned at the Arizona immigration law. You know, for me, that was stunning that Justice Roberts voted down the other four provisions in the Arizona law.
Right.
This is a conservative justice.
Yep.
Who voted to strike down four parts of that law, but it was 8-0 on the most important part of the law, on let me see your papers. But the other portions of the law, hey, we had a conservative vote with the liberals on that. So you're right. It's really unpredictable.
Right.
But we can fairly say that this – we can fairly say that this vote – or at least I'll fairly say, and I'll ask you what your opinion is.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that this vote, if Obama wins or loses, do you think that this will define his presidency or the reelection?
I'm going to say no. I'm really going to say no, because being that in the manner in which the bill was written, the manner in which it was taken on by the public, I'm going to say no, because if it does get struck down, I don't think it's going to be a big shock to a lot of people, whether you liberal or independent or conservative. I think most people are bracing for the worst. Seriously, I really do think people are going to brace for the worst. And I think it might have a chink in his armor, you know. He might have a little dent, but I think overall, no, because I'm still trying to figure out how he polling so well with all the other circumstances around him. I don't know. I like, this dude is like floating on water right now.
You are absolutely right. I agree with you. I think that the media will make the end result bigger than what it is, but I think we've still got too many months to go. If the mandate were to be struck down tomorrow and the election were a month from now, this would have a huge impact. But I think there's too much distance between tomorrow and the election for it to have enough impact, if you get my meaning.
Right. I do. I really do.
You got a lot of time in between.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right. Nefertiti, thank you so much for calling, and I appreciate your support. You know you got mine. I'm going to let the world know every day. The Real Talk Blancers, have you heard of them, by the way?
No, I have not. No, I haven't.
Now, are you in the Ohio area? Because I'm looking at your area code, and that looks Ohio to me.
No, I'm in California. I am in
Are you in Cali?
I am in Northern California. I am in the heart of the Bay Area. I'm from Oakland.
Oh, really?
Yes, I am.
Wow,
so
Reese on the radio is reaching that far? I love it.
Right.
Well, you're reaching all the way back to down to the D.C. area, because that's where I'm at.
Okay.
Now, I'm in the D.C. area, so we got coast-to-coast love going on right now, baby.
Absolutely.
Girl.
That's the stretch of the Dawn Nicole Young Show. And, I mean, Sister Dawn has everybody from Holland to, I mean, she's worldwide, you know. She really is. That's the kind of, that's how she touches people, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
She does. The woman has such a powerful thought and powerful voice that it literally goes all over the globe.
Well, don't cut yourself short there, Nefertiti. You know, I love everybody on your show, all of the people who chime in, you know, that I interacted with for the past 2 days.
Right.
I found a new family. I love you guys. But look up the Real Talk Blancers. These guys show love, too. You know, they're a little, I always call them niggerific. I love these guys. They're real niggerific. And they're from the Ohio area, and they're an interesting bunch. So, you know, John, check them out. And Blancers is spelled B-L Answers.
Oh, B-L Answers. Okay.
Yeah, B-L Answers. Real Talk Blancers. Look them up. They're on Blog Talk Radio. They're on the same time as me all the time. And we do a cross show often when we talk about politics.
Oh, awesome.
Enough about them. I just want to let you know, Nefertiti and Don DeCorleone, I love you guys. And I want to build a great love with you guys and a great relationship, and I hope we continue this, you know, in the coming years, man. I really appreciate you guys' support, because I always support you.
Absolutely, Reese, and the feeling is mutual, I must say. So I'm continuing to listen in, and, you know, if you say something, I'll unmute myself, and I'll come back in if you don't mind.
Hey, you know what? I'll put you on mute now, because we got plenty of stuff to talk about. We got food stamp stuff coming up. Nefertiti's on the show with us tonight. And we'll get some response from her. We got Mike out in Florida. I know he's listening. We got Edward out in Connecticut. You know, if you guys want to chime in, please call the numbers 347-308-8701. When I play this food stamp commercial, if you ain't heard it yet, you have got to listen to this. The Department of Agriculture is promoting food stamps in a way you never knew. Talking about how food stamps make you healthy and look good. So
around. Because lordy, lordy, lordy. I love saying that, by the way. We are going to talk about, when we come back, we have got to talk about the, I want to say the pouring down. And I say pouring, P-O-O-R, pouring down of the state of our union, making people love food stamps. Oh, when you hear this commercial, you're going to laugh. So stick around. We'll be back. It's Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. On the radio, and you'd be stunned at some of the people who call up to spend some time with Reese on the Radio. He is the godfather of entertainment, Mr. Michael Lohan. Mr. Lohan!
Reese, I have to stop laughing before we jump in. I don't know how to respond to this. Am I in the Twilight Zone?
you are in the Twilight Zone. On the phone with us right now on Reese on the Radio is the connoisseur of the Hollywood biz, the father of the famed actress Lindsay Lohan. Mr. Michael Lohan is on the show on Reese on the Radio. Thank you for joining us today, sir.
No, thanks for having me, Reese. It's going to be a lot of fun, I can tell already.
Oh, man, you have no idea how much fun we are going to have today. It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mary, Mary, why you bugging?
James, you're on the air?
Yep.
Before you say anything, you are just going to come clean right now, okay? I'd like to know the adult beverage you enjoy.
Beverage? Yeah, I'm drinking beer.
What kind of beer are you drinking, James? Is it a 211?
Oh, yes.
You're drinking a 211?
Yes.
You're drinking 211 Steel Reserve.
Right now.
The reason why it's called Steel Reserve, and it's called 211 for that matter, is that the police code, 211, means robbery in progress.
And don't let me tell you what that 211 has stolen from you tonight, my man.
It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama is attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
That our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward. And the state of our union is strong.
3 years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises. and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours, a great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on ReSun Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com. All over my face. What is a boy to do?
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Warning, the sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it, I love it, I love it, I-L-O-V-E.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. blogtalkradio.com. It is Hump Day, Wacky Wednesday, June the 27th, 2012. I got an announcement to make, but I'm going to wait until the 9 o'clock hour to make that announcement because Reese on the Radio will be going on the road. That's right. It's Reese on the Radio on the road to New York. Everybody knows on Friday I got a court date. So I got to drive on Thursday night back up to New York from the D.C. area. So that's going to take about 4 hours. We're going to leave at about 7:30, 8 o'clock. So Reese on the Radio will be live on the I-95. That's right. I'll be calling in on Reese on the Radio on my cell phone. JC will be handling all of the particulars. He'll be playing the drops. He'll be playing the audio and all that. And I will be on the road, scared to death, because Mary, why you bugging, our co-host here, will be driving me on the road while I am doing the show on the I-95. Unheard of, unprecedented radio live on the I-95. I know you're waiting for daddy. It's been a long time. Never mind. You have to know the Youngblood song in order to understand that little reference. I'm trying to remember how that goes. I know you're waiting for daddy. It won't be long, shorty. Be patient because I'm coming for you. Riding dirty on 95. But see, they say riding dirty on 85. I'll be riding dirty on 95. You have to know the song. The song called 85 by Young Bloods. It's a great song. I like it. Maybe I'll play it later on in the show. But we'll be riding on I-95, live doing a show. It's a four-hour drive, so 2 hours of us driving on 95 will be live, Reese on the Radio, going up to New York for my court case. And I know everybody will be excited about Friday. What happened? What happened? And we'll be able to tell you all those details after, of course, the court date at 9 a.m. on Friday. And it'll probably be an old day. And I know I'll be exhausted, but I'm never too exhausted for you folks. You know, that's the reason why we do this. Let me let you a little background. Of course, again, the number is 347-308-8701 right here on Reese on the Radio. When I was a kid growing up, single-parent household. For most of my childhood, I was the middle child. I have an older sister, Christine. I have a younger brother, Charles. For most of my life, it was only the three of us. Until some 10 years later, we had my baby sister, Zakiah, and then 2 years after that, my baby brother, Briggs. And all my life growing up in Hollis, Queens, my mother was on food stamps. And as a little kid going to the store, you going to the store with food stamps was, that was an embarrassing experience. Yeah, I'm sure there were plenty of other people in the neighborhood who had food stamps, but no kid was sent out to the store with food stamps. A lot of these kids were probably a little more reckless than I was. I was a little more docile as a child. I got beat up a lot. You know, so my mom, you know, wasn't like I could talk back to my mother because I was afraid of everything, including my shadow. So my mama sent me out with a book of food stamps, and you have to go to the store. And if you were caught with food stamps as a kid, you got disrespected in the worst way possible. Food stamps could never be equated with wealth, especially if you're living in the black community. Everybody's trying to, you know what I'm saying, try to, you know, style and profile. You can't style a profile with a book of food stamps in your pocket. You can't ever do that. So I hated having to go to the store with food stamps. I would rather, let me give you a perfect example. If I had a choice as a boy growing up, I'd rather go to the store with $5 in cash to go get my mama some Tampax in front of the country to go buy some tampons. Or some Tampax or some Kotex before I go get a bottle of soda with a food stamp. And all those people out there who really, really know what I'm talking about, you can't be a boy out there asking the store owner.
Yeah, how much for these Kotex? My mom says that they're supposed to be on sale.
Versus breaking open a pack of food stamps to buy some orange juice. You couldn't do it. So food stamps was, you know, that's a bane on your existence. That lets people know that you are not poor. And in a black community, you know, you can't really let your neighborhood, you know, your the folks in your neighborhood, you couldn't really admit to the poverty level you were in. So food stamps, that only really promoted that. So when I heard this article and having a very vivid memory of my childhood and the poverty that we dealt with, when I heard this ad, I said to myself, really? Today? I mean, what's the Department of Agriculture trying to promote out there? I mean, are they letting people know that it's okay to be poor? Because I'm sorry, I don't know any poor people out there who think it's okay. And they want more for themselves. They want better for themselves. I mean, maybe it's okay to make people comfortable that they have to use food stamps, but I'm going to let you decide. Here's a portion of the new Department of Agriculture's ad on food stamps.
Look at Margie. She looks amazing. Yes, she sure does.
I wonder how she stays so fit. What's her secret?
Well, she told me that food stamp benefits help her eat right, and she stays active, too.
Oh, I didn't know they helped people our age.
Oh, food stamps help lots of people. People you know.
Wait, you use it, too?
Yes, I do. Now that I'm retired and have a fixed income, food stamps are a big help. They help me eat right when money's tight.
So food stamps helps her eat right when money's tight, and it helps you stay fit. Now listen, I know what everybody's going to say. The overlay is, yeah, these are older people who are on retirement. But listen to the context. It's very important you listen to the context of what she says, because she's promoting an underlying narrative here. Really pay attention to this. You hear the older black woman, who you can distinctly tell from her voice, the person she's talking to is an
obviously an elderly or an older white woman. Listen to what the white woman says about what food stamps can do for you.
Would you look at Margie? She looks amazing.
Yes, she sure does.
I wonder how she stays so fit. What's her secret?
Well, she told me that food stamp benefits help her eat right, and she stays active, too.
Oh, I didn't know they helped people our age.
Oh, food.
They help you stay active? How do food stamps help you stay active? I would say dodging people to avoid them knowing that you use food stamps would make you active. You know, dodging between the aisles, you know, diving over the produce counter.
Would you look at Margie? She looks amazing.
Yes, she sure does.
I wonder how she stays so fit. What's her secret?
Well, she told me that food stamp benefits help her eat right, and she stays active, too.
Oh, I didn't know they helped people our age.
Oh, food stamps help lots of people. People you know.
Wait, you use it too?
Yes, I do. Now that I'm retired and have a fixed income, food stamps are a big help. They help me eat right when money's tight.
So I understand when money's tight, you might need some assistance. You know, but today, older people are much more active than they were in the 20s and 30s, maybe even the 40s and 50s. I'll even go so far as the 60s and 70s. In the 60s, 70s, and 80s, when you were older, you were older. But we know people who are working at, I hate to use the McDonald's example, but we know older people today who are working more than they did when they were younger. But are we really promoting food stamps like that? I just find that strange. And we normally don't advocate food stamps in this fashion. There used to be ads that used to tell us, if you need help, if you're struggling, if things have really, really gotten hard on you, then you have help. We're here to help you. It was sort of like a goodwill proposition. But now we're promoting it like, food stamps keeps you active? On some real-ish? It's keeping you active? Now, we got Nefertiti on the line. Nefertiti, you got to come in and tell me your view on this. You know, as a black woman out there in California, you got to let me know. don't you think this is a bit much?
Reese, I'm not. You know what? I'm not even going to cuss on the show because I'm going to respect what you do.
Mm-hmm.
But let me say this. That commercial was fucking disgusting. I'm sorry. It was. It was disgusting. I mean, I too, like you, grew up single mother. Yes, getting aid, had to walk with the food stamps. It's highly embarrassing. You know what I'm saying? I've been through that as a young person. So, and the manner in which that they are doing that now, that's shameful. It really is shameful. And the thing is I see that, are they really gearing this towards senior citizens? I mean, that's the way it's come. What does that mean? I'm trying to figure out the cause and the effect on this one. So,
well, you're right.
You know,
you want to know, like, who are they targeting in this ad? Are they targeting senior citizens? Mm-hmm. Are they targeting older people? Mm-hmm. But I feel like they were indirectly targeting others as well. When the white woman in the ad says, helping it keep you fit. And what I think they mean by this is because now there's this new ordinance within the food stamp program where you can't buy certain things with food stamps. You can't buy sugary soft drinks with the
right.
food stamps, you can only buy certain things. So they're saying that it helps you stay healthy because you can only buy, you know, that's what the program is. It's a supplemental nutrition. That's what SNAP, the two S and N in SNAP means. It's saying you want to eat right and stay healthy. Food stamps will keep you from buying those things that you would normally buy if you had regular cash.
Wow. Yeah, that's a crock right there. And I'm not even going to go into what real health is, because we know darn well most people who use food stamps don't have a clue about what real nutrition is. So I don't care if they say you can't eat a sugary snack, they don't know how to eat. So that whole premise is false. It's just, man, I don't know where else to go with that one. I'm disturbed by that one myself.
What makes me laugh, when I spent, you know, and I talked to you about this earlier, when I was locked up in Rikers Island for 2.5 years, there was this one Spanish kid who said, he said the EBT card that he used, they said that the acronym for the words for EBT was Eat Better Tonight. The EBT card, Eat Better Tonight. That's how they refer to it. And I went, Eat Better Tonight. He's like, yeah, because, you know, you could buy stuff with the EBT card that you normally wouldn't buy with regular cash. If you were earning a paycheck, you would itemize your bills with a regular paycheck. But an EBT card, you could buy the stuff you normally wouldn't buy. You buy some honey buns. You know, buy ham and cheese. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, that would always freak me out. One of my favorite parts of the show is letting this man in. Nefertiti, let me introduce you to this man. He's our friendly neighborhood white guy from northern Florida. This is Mike in Florida. Mike, of course, thank you for joining the show. Have you heard this ad yet, Mike?
Yeah, I heard it. And, you know, here's the thing. You know, I'm a personal trainer, right? So I have some opinions on diet and nutrition and all that. I see people with the EBT card buying stuff all the time. And I never see them buying bags of brown rice and bags of dry beans, okay, or vegetables. Never. They're always buying processed crap, you know, frozen meals and snack food and junk. I think the only thing that Florida won't let them get here is, like, deli food, anything that's ready to eat.
So oh, really?
They can't get sandwiches. I don't think they can get, like, bakery goods, but why not just give them food? That's the logical choice right there. I mean, I remember back in the 80s when people were getting, you know, government cheese and powdered milk and government butter. Remember those days?
Yes, I do.
Why don't we just give these people, you know, you qualify for food stamps. Okay, well, you know what? Every month, come on in here. We're going to give you a gigantic bag of dry pinto beans, give you a 10-pound bag of rice, and here's your cans of frozen vegetables, and go eat this.
So you really, you would rather, instead of spending our money by giving them the EBT card or that sort of, as I always call it, the poor credit card, you believe, mm-hmm. instead of giving them the credit card, you believe in actual food banks of the
food.
Well,
yeah, I mean, we already subsidize farmers, so why not just give them the damn food? Then we could make sure we don't have a nation of obese fat asses living on the government dole, because you ain't gonna get fat on pinto beans and brown rice.
I mean, I don't want to suggest. Well, actually, I am gonna suggest. See, that I believe to poor people would be really extreme, because, you know, I would say the real lowest common denominator for me would be if I was on that line going to get my monthly supply of government-regulated food. I think
we'll ship it to you.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll ship it to you. Like, wait a minute. Do you fill out, like, a menu?
Yeah, it's like, unless you can prove you're allergic to brown rice and dry beans, you get brown rice and dry beans and cans of green beans and lima beans. And I had that for dinner today. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, the whole idea is to make sure that they don't starve, right?
Yeah, and I can't tell you how, you know, I drive around here and I see convenience stores, these, you know, Indian-owned convenience stores. Big sign up front says, we take EBT. And why the hell are you using your EBT card at the Haji store? There's nothing you need to buy there.
You're absolutely right.
You're buying Funyuns.
It's funny, to the EBT holder, those little corner stores, those little bodegas, for me, that's nothing more than a corner dealer.
Yeah, that's where you get the weed.
I mean, you get nothing but processed food there, you get junk, you don't get a real, like, substantive
meal
there, you never do. That's the part that drives me up the wall, is that those people being allowed to use EBT. Because the one thing, and Mike, I think you make a valid point here. I think I'm going to swing more towards you on this. Is what that does is I want to say that it enables people in the poor communities to use those stores versus the supermarkets where they should be using those cards.
I mean, look, I live in an area. This is kind of rural suburbia. So within, I don't know, about 10 miles of where I live, there are, I kid you not, 4 grocery stores, including a super Walmart. Right?
Uh-huh.
So you can eat here. You can get fed. There's no shortage of healthy food. And when I see people on EBT buying food, it's all crap.
Yeah, I mean, it's stunning to me that it's stunning to me that people want to live that way, and now our federal government is actually pretty much coming out and saying that we want you to go, you know, we really, really want to promote that. You know, we want you to be on welfare so bad we want to actually get rid of the stigma that being on food stamps is bad. I don't know. I'm kind of against that.
I mean, I feel bad for people on food stamps, you know, because, look, I live in an area, like I said, where there's a lot of unemployment. And if you have a family and you need some help feeding your family, hey, man, that's what it's for. But it shouldn't be that you buy the unhealthiest crap imaginable, because then that just, you know, domino effect into people being unhealthy and sucking up Medicaid benefits. And it's just a self-perpetuating cycle of illness and unhealthiness.
Yeah, I agree. Nefertiti, you want to join in here real quick?
Right. I just wanted to interject and say this. If they got nothing but corner stores and Walmart, they not eating healthy, because you're not going to find anything healthy in Walmart. I'm sorry.
Oh, I see.
You're just not.
Do you have Walmart Supercenters in Oakland?
Absolutely. I live in a very urban area.
Walmart Supercenter is just a gigantic grocery store.
Right. I see them. I have neighbors. I see them come in with tons of it. Top Ramen, all this other crap.
I also bought frozen chicken breasts and avocados there. So you can do it. I mean, they have a great produce section. You just have to, you know, when I'm a trained client, right, I tell them how to grocery shop.
Mm-hmm.
I tell them to stay the hell out of the aisles in the middle of the grocery store.
Absolutely. You got to shop on the perimeter.
You eat around the perimeter. And if you go around the perimeter, you are not going to get crap.
I never knew that. Hold on. You guys are educating me here. Is that there's a method to shopping? I just wonder why I don't like going.
Oh, yeah. They set up the grocery store in a particular way there, Reese. Oh, yes. It's all marketing, and it's a plan.
Yeah,
all processed food.
The crap is in the middle.
Right.
I mean, you ever notice when you walk into the grocery store, there's always some kind of processed or deli or bakery item sitting there in a cooler looking at you?
Wait a minute. Hold on. Wait. I'm sorry. Yeah, okay. I'm going to take a break. You two are better than this than I am. So you mean to tell me there's an actual way that you should shop?
Absolutely. I'm a health enthusiast myself as a professional athlete that I was. I understand the importance of eating healthy and what real healthy eating is. And if you look at it, I mean, if I don't really shop at a grocery store per se, I mean, because I live off the land as much as I can by growing my own foods as much as I can. I try to stay out as much as I can. But the fact is, it's a method to their madness.
Hold on. We're going to take a break real quick for about 2.5 minutes. And you guys are going to break this down to me, because I never knew this. I'll admit, I hate shopping, but I'm going to seek you guys' help. So I'll put you on hold. We'll come back, and you're going to break this down to me. I really want to know this. Oh, man, I'm scared now. I never knew this. They actually set up the supermarkets? All right, we're going to break it down. It's Reese on the radio. 10 minutes till the top of the hour. Stick around right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Bill Maher here. Sarah Palin agreed to do commentary at Fox News, which is actually very similar to her day job, talking to a baby with Down syndrome.
Speaking of dumb thoughts,
it's not because they have breasts. It's because they are boobs.
I hope Sarah Palin gets in so that they split the MILF vote.
That's not sexist.
I would like to announce a donation to the Obama Super PAC.
I thought about Malia and Sasha. I want them to be able to speak their mind in a civil and thoughtful way. And I don't want them attacked or called horrible names because they're being good citizens.
I would like to give that PAC $1 million.
Sarah Palin, the strange family of inbred weirdos. She fucked Levi over and over until a baby fell out.
The Maverick and the Milk.
They fined CBS $1 million for Janet Jackson's nipple. Think what they could get for Hillary Clinton's cunt. That's not sexist.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse.
She is the chair of the Democratic National Committee.
I don't know any woman in America that thinks that being called a slut is funny.
Please welcome Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Being part of a democracy involves argument and disagreements and debate, and there's a way to do it that doesn't involve you being demeaned and insulted.
Speaking of dumb,
this is a Category 5 moron we have on our hands, and I am unapologetic.
Top 10 highlights of Sarah Palin's trip to New York City. Number 2, bought makeup at Bloomingdale's, update her slutty flight attendant look.
I'm going to try to lead by example.
During the 7th inning, her daughter was knocked up by Alex Rodriguez.
To send a message to all our young people, I'm going to try to lead by example.
Speaking of dumb quads,
Maher decided to help President Obama out and give him a financial boost.
He's donated $1 million.
Last week, I said goodbye to $1 million.
I made a contribution to Obama's Super PAC.
This ends up being a teachable moment.
I wouldn't put anything past this stupid country.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse. I'm going to try to lead by example in this situation.
You're seeing a president adopt policies which affect our economy based not upon what's right for the American worker, but instead what's right for their politics. The National Labor Relations Board, now stacked with union stooges selected by the president, says to a free enterprise like Boeing, you can't build a factory in South Carolina because South Carolina is a right-to-work state. That is simply un-American. It's political payback of the worst kind. It is wrong for America, and it is something that will stop under my administration. I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Merry marriage, why you bugging?
Mary, why you bugging is here. She's finally arrived. 8 minutes to the top of the hour. That's her little theme music. That's my co-host. My friend. She's on the air right now. Mary, why you bugging? The first thing she said to me when she walked in on the show, she said, you don't know that that's what they do in the store? I said, no, I don't know. I don't shop. I don't do the whole shopping thing. So let's let the guys back in. Mike. Of course, our friendly neighborhood white guy in Florida, and of course, one of our new friends to the show, Nefertiti, who is a co-host over on the Don Nicolione show, all the way out in California, on the air. And Mike, I know you know Mary, but Nefertiti, it is Mary, why you bugging? She is our resident white girl who's blacker than Reese on the radio.
That's saying a lot. That's saying a lot.
That is saying a lot. Yeah, she is black. Everybody says it who meets her. They go, why don't you sound like her? They always say that. She sounds blacker than you. Now, Mary just came in here. She said, Reese, you don't know this? No, I don't know this because I don't do the shopping thing. I'm a little chauvinistic here. I believe that shopping is left for women. Yes, we'll talk about that later. I'm a chauvinist. So break this down for me, Mike and Nefertiti, and of course, Mary, what am I missing here? They actually set this up that way?
Oh, yeah. The same reason that when you go through the checkout aisles, there's magazines and candy and gum, right? It's impulse buy.
Right, I know
when
that.
When you walk into a grocery store, I'll give you an example. I went to the grocery store this morning. I walk in, and the very first thing I see facing me is a freestanding cooler. In this freestanding cooler, I kid you not, were 2-for-1 packages of hot dogs, like wieners, and key lime pies. All right, first thing you see when you walk in the store. And now I happen to like hot dogs, and I love key lime pie. So if I'd been hungry, I might have bought a key lime pie.
Right.
But if you, everything basically that is good for you in the grocery store is around the perimeter. I don't know why it's set up that way, but if you think about it, your dairy section is always on the perimeter, right? Then your meat and poultry section's on one other side. Always in the back. And then you've got the produce section kind of hidden off in a corner, always. What they're figuring is most people, instead of shopping around the perimeter, they shop up and down. And as you go up and down, that's where you have all your processed crap and your box meals and your condiments and all this garbage. You know, the only thing in the middle that's not bad is there's usually a section where you have canned vegetables. And there's always, usually it's on the same aisle, it's canned vegetables, dried beans, pastas, and rices.
Now, Nefertiti, you as a athlete, I believe you said you were, you've been involved in athletics, right? Nefertiti, you there?
Yeah, absolutely, on the college, collegiate level and a professional level, yes.
What, did you play in WNBA?
No, I played overseas, though. I mean, I played collegiately at UC Berkeley and finished at Holy Names University, and I played over in Russia for 4 years.
Play basketball?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
So what are you like, 6'9", 6'10"?
No, I'm 5'10".
Oh, okay.
That's tall for a woman, though.
Oh, yeah, that is. That's still tall for a woman. So you've experienced this as well? Like, what gave you sort of, like, was there something that told you that this is the way you should shop? Did your training sort of let you know all this stuff?
Well, when you're an athlete, you're always trying to get every little advantage that you can. And so when I was in college, you know, I was used to get sluggish, and I really didn't understand, as hard as I trained, why was I still getting tired during the game? And it was how I ate. I mean, shit, I used to eat chili dogs before games. You know what I'm saying? Because when you're that young, you have a very high metabolism. So you burn off all you want. You don't gain any weight. But when you get in the higher echelons of athletics, everybody is like you. Everybody is very athletic. So you try to find out what's the difference in this nutrition. And that's when I really start to dig into what my body need, what my body type was, and that maximum foods, the high alkaline foods that were going to give me the most energy that I needed to perform at a high level. And so that's basically what it was. And when you go to the grocery store, like the gentleman just said, all the advertising is right there when you walk into the store, and those are all the front aisles, all your Doritos, all that other crap that's right in front of you. And so that's what people head to.
Now, Mary, there was a term that you used when we were during break that you called. What was the term that you used?
The way that stores are set up, regardless of what type of store it is, whether it's a grocery store, a small convenience store, a shoe store, a clothing store, any store that carries any kind of merchandise has a planogram.
Okay, all right, planogram.
Even places that you go to buy glasses from, you go to buy eyeglasses from, they all have planograms. And planograms set up the stores in a way that you're going to see the stuff that's on sale first.
Right.
9 times out of 10, all the stuff that's on sale is no good for you.
Right.
So if we're talking about just exclusively grocery stores, so that's why it's set up that way. There's a strategic process that they follow in order to get people to buy.
Yeah, all that process stuff has a higher profit margin.
Exactly.
Right. Stores don't make money on broccoli.
Right, it's cheap to make. Processed food is cheap to make, and you can sell it at a very I mean, it's inexpensive, so you can, you know, use the markup that they get and the profit that they get is incredible.
I think the average markup on those items is somewhere in like 200 to 300%.
Really?
And if you want to get into real profit, you look at soda. I mean, a 2-liter bottle of Coke, I think it'll cost you about $1.29. And there's probably 2 cents worth of product in that bottle.
Exactly.
Huh.
Just like at Burger King. I only know this because I used to work there when I was a teenager. At Burger King, it cost them probably, it was back then, it cost them about 4 cents to make a Whopper.
Mm-hmm.
It cost you $2 and some cents for a Whopper. Now you pay almost $5, and it's probably costing them now maybe at a maximum 8 cents. Maybe that's doubled, and they're charging you almost $5.
Wow.
And they're not paying that extra to their employees, that's for sure.
They sure ain't.
This is the reason why I don't do shopping. It's too complicated for me. I hate going to a grocery store. We'll go to the top. Go ahead, Mike.
Does Mary do your shopping for you then?
But Mary won't even let me go into the grocery store anymore. That's over. I won't go with her. She damn sure won't go with me. Stick around. We'll go back. It's the top of the hour. I got plenty of stuff to go on. We're going to talk about Reese on the Radio on the road tomorrow. Reese on the Radio live from I-95 tomorrow. That's what we're doing. We'll be back with Reese on the Radio. Stick around.
In this community.
Yes.
Yeah, and somebody has to make a change.
Yes.
Now, brother, will you help me?
Yes, I will.
I wish I could. Damn it, man. I heard the People's Revolutionary Army was once 1,000 strong. Now, what happened?
They got government jobs.
The brothers walked in with guns, came out with jobs.
The brothers weren't mad anymore. Yes. Whitey is something else.
It's Reese on the Radio, and we're back 1 minute after the hour on the blog, talkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. The number's 347-308-8701. It is wacky, weak-ass, hump day Wednesday, June the 27th, 2012. Mary, Mary, why you bugging is here. No JC today. He didn't call me to tell me what was going on. I know he's having some technical difficulties back at home, but of course we're joined by Nefertiti from the Don Nicolione Show out in Oakland, California. And Nefertiti, of course, has her own show as well. Don Nicolione, her show is on four or five afternoons a week at 12 o'clock. Please check her out because, trust me, it's a livelier show. I call them the Millie Jacksons of radio because, trust me, Mary, I'm not kidding. These girls, they've got quite a mouth on them.
I love it.
Yeah, I know. I knew you'd say that.
I love it.
Mary wants to curse every day on this show, and I have to tell her every time, could you please not do that? Could you please?
Censorship, people. He's trying to censor me from doing what he tries to stand up for every day.
Freedom of speech.
Freedom of speech.
But I know, but I don't want people to think that that's all we can do. I mean, I just want to have a higher level show. I'm sorry.
So what are you saying? A Nefertiti show is not a higher
I didn't
level
suggest
show?
That. I didn't say that Don Nicolione is just that, you know, look, they're a little more established than we are on Reese on the Radio. They've been on for a while. Their audience accepts that, and they're okay, but me, I don't feel comfortable with using that language.
But you're probably the only person that doesn't feel comfortable with it. Everybody else is probably all right with it. Who do you think is listening to this show?
Well, I'm sure it's not people who always curse every other word.
I mean, do you think people in the cabinets of the government are listening? Do you think people that are... You know, that have their
I'd like them to.
That have their noses up in the air listening.
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. You calling me snotty or snooty?
I'm calling you a snob.
Oh, really?
Champagne taste and beer pocket.
Wow. Oh,
kidding.
Wow. You say I got champagne taste with bubblegum money? That's
yeah,
what you're saying?
Super bubblegum. 500 piece. You even get a comic.
Oh, that's just awful. I'm so offended by
stop
that.
Stop trying to censor me. Damn it.
Well, look, you see, you got to say damn it. Okay. Look, I want to play this audio. And a lot of you who are familiar with the beer, Dos Equis. And I don't know who drinks.
Dos Equis.
Is it Dos Equis?
Equis.
I thought it was Equis.
No, it's Dos Equis.
Yeah, you would know. You know that Puerto Rican stuff. But whatever. Dos Equis.
Two X's.
Two X's. Dos Equis. And the a super PAC did an ad slamming Barack Obama. And they did it to the Dos Equis ad, which I thought was hilarious when I heard it. The Dos Equis ad is called the most interesting man in the world. This is called the most arrogant man in the world.
Out of respect, they gave him the Nobel Peace Prize without him doing anything, and he took it. He changed health care for millions of Americans, even though they like what they have. He says he will tell Iran to quit making nukes, and they will stop, because he is just that good. To him, the Supreme Court is nothing but an unelected group of people. You want precedent? He is the president. He picked Joe Biden to be his vice president, just to show that he doesn't really need one. He wants us to believe no one else in America would have made the Bin Laden call. He is the most arrogant man in the world. I ultimately get what I want. Stay ignorant, my friends.
Now, some people are calling this ad racist, which I find interesting.
There wasn't anything racist that he said.
It was the donkey at the end. That's what they called racist.
But the donkey at the end, he's a liberal. He's a Democrat.
Exactly.
Moron.
Yes, exactly. They are.
So people calling Republicans elephants, is that, that's not just because basically they're telling you you're a fat ass?
Yeah, exactly. That would be my argument immediately. But they're saying that, you know, everything that you say against the President of the United States is being called, any challenge you make against the President of the United States is being referred to as racist. In fact,
it's the only leg that anybody has to stand on. Even have that leg to stand on.
One black woman.
Because, again, Barack Obama is not just black. Barack Obama is black and white. But we all seem to forget about his whiteness. We all seem to forget about that because you can't see it with your own two eyes. He is black and he is white. He is half and half.
And raised by whites.
Exactly.
Yeah, but they don't, that doesn't mean anything to them because the color of his skin is more important. But this is funny because one of the women, I think she's one of the presidents of the Congressional Black Caucus. She's a black woman. She went so far as to say even calling President Barack Obama cool was considered racist.
What?
Saying that, I swear to you, that's what she said. Referring to the President of the United States as cool was deemed racist. In essence,
so you can only be, is that because only black people can be cool? So you're saying cool? So you're referencing his blackness with his coolness?
Well, would you say that about Arthur Fonzarelli, the Fonz? Because he was cool. Hey.
I don't use that word, but whatever.
But because they're saying he's cool,
I'd say he has swag.
Well, I think that's more racist. I think that's more racist. Saying that he has swagger is a racist term.
Why is that racist? White people can't have swagger?
Well, no, I've
I
never.
I got swagger.
No, I'm sorry. I don't think.
I'm a
swaggerific
MFer. I got swagger.
No, if black people say that President Barack Obama has swag, that's acceptable. But if white people says he has swagger or say he has what they call swagger, it's almost like saying he has that niggerific style like the black people say. Well, black people don't say that. That's just me. But it would be calling him saying swagger as a white person would say, well, white people aren't supposed to refer to people's swagger. Only black people can use that term. So if a white person says he has swagger.
White people just have to be stiff boys. They just have to be crackers. They can only be crackatastic. They can't be anything else.
I'm so glad that we invented those two terms, niggerific and crackatastic. I love the fact that we invented that. Nefertiti.
And guess who invented which word?
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? I invented niggerific. Mary invented crackatastic. The black person and the white person. Nefertiti, help me out here. Do you think it's racist for white people to call the president cool?
Nah, man. I mean, they just call it the way they see it. He is a cool ass nigga. I'm sorry. Hey, Wally, you know, he got a limp when he walk. You know, he bob his head when he talk. It's just being factual, you know what I'm saying? But look, we live in a country that is so racially traumatized, you know what I'm saying? And that you're always going to get that reaction. It's always going to be that, just like Mary said, you know. It's just, there's always stereotypes that are linked to ethnicity and color in this country. I mean, as much as we want to say everything is post-racial, man, that's just not the reality in the world in which we live, especially not in America. So people are, you know, are you saying the Congressional Black Caucus is probably Barbara Lee that you're speaking about. I think it's probably Barbara Lee. Saying that that's racist to call him cool. No, she just, they just, people just think calling it like they see it. The nigga's cool, all right, period. He's cool.
Go ahead, Mike.
You guys really think Barack Obama's cool? He's kind of a
friggin'
dork.
Okay, Mike.
Nothing cool. You know who a cool brother is? My definition of a cool brother. The prototype for a cool brother is Samuel Jackson.
Okay, all right. Yeah,
that brother's cool. Barack Obama's a dork.
You're absolutely right, because Barack Obama, the one thing that I can always use as a template for Barack Obama's uncoolness is when he was throwing out the first pitch at the All-Star game in the mom jeans, and he threw that first pitch, I mean, really awful. That was not cool. I mean,
he's not even cool for white people.
Oh, come on now, Mike.
Listen, I think I'm not voting for his ass. But I think he's cool. I think he's cool. I think he's got swagger. I think he's nice looking. You know, I think he's got a family.
I think Justin Timberlake's got more swagger than Barack Obama.
Hold on. Go ahead, Mike.
Justin Timberlake has more swagger than Barack Obama.
Hold on.
Justin Bieber has more swagger than Barack Obama.
Hold on. No, look. I'm going to go to Nefertiti for this. Justin Timberlake, come on. That's a pretty good question.
Just the Timberlake. You know what? He sure wasn't. He didn't have no swagger when he was in that boy band.
Did you see him dance?
He didn't get no swagger until he started hanging around Timberland.
Exactly. I was just going to say.
Okay.
He had no swagger until he started hanging around with the black folks.
But wait. Come on. Even Justin Timberlake got an NAACP Image Award before Barack Obama did.
Oh, goodness.
Justin Timberlake got a lot of swag. Justin Timberlake looked good in a Kango and an Adidas sweatsuit.
He sure did.
Hey, Reese, did you hear the Congressional Black Caucus is talking about staging a walkout if they actually hold Eric Holder in contempt of Congress?
Walk out.
Well, you better put your damn walking shoes on then.
Because it's racist.
Yeah, they've already deemed that.
You are in contempt. I don't care whether you're black, you're white, you're a damn smurf. It don't matter. You lied.
It's because you can't question him because he's black. And anybody questioning the black attorney general is doing it from a racist perspective. That's what they think.
Can I comment? Only thing I'm going to say about this Eric Holder situation, I think it's a major glaring double stand. It's a major hypocrisy going on with the Eric Holder situation. Come on, this damn program has been in the running for the longest. I think just because they got caught with their hand in the cookie jar, unlike previous administrations, because this didn't just start in 2008. This didn't start in 2009.
They're
going on for a minute. So, whether I tell you any administration will be doing what they're doing right now.
But no,
I mean,
Nefertiti, here's the facts, and we've talked about this extensively on Reese on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, yesterday's guest who we had on, Robert Mazur, who's a former DEA agent who is responsible for bringing down Pablo Escobar, he was on our show yesterday. And he talked about the program you're referring to. You're saying that this happened in other administrations. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
In 2006, the Bush administration had a program called Wide Receiver. It took place for about a little over a year, from 2006 to 2007. They did it in conjunction with the Mexican government. They put RFID tracking devices on the guns that went over into Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
They arrested 1,600 people. But when the straw buyers found the tracking devices. They ripped them off, and they ended the program in 2007. 2 years later, in the Obama administration, then they started Fast and Furious. Two separate operations. They put no tracking devices on these weapons, and they sent them over to the Mexican border. They never informed the Mexican government. They did it on their own, and some 300 people were killed in Mexico due to these weapons, and then a U.S. border agent was killed as a result. So, I mean, let's look at the contrast.
Well, and let's not forget that the gun stores that they were using as part of this front were complaining about the operation.
I don't believe government as a whole, primarily. I mean, it's very hard for me to trust anybody who was involved in the government who got government ties. It's not too many whistleblowers, okay, like true whistleblowers. You don't find many of them. You know what I'm saying? So depending if you have a political ideology, man, like I said, you can always skew whatever the hell you want, and you can make it reflect as you wish. Now, if there was documentation, so to speak, saying that the program was deaded, then I'd be a little bit more convinced. You know what I'm saying?
But it was. Eric Holder, in fact, I'll give you a little background on this.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Holder tried to pin this on the Bush administration.
Mm-hmm.
The days before the first contempt vote by the Oversight Committee, the day before, he said that the Attorney General under Bush knew about this operation. And then right before the contempt vote in the Oversight Committee,
mm-hmm.
he then retracted that statement. He
said,
no, I have to be honest, I retract the fact that the Bush administration knew about this program, because there was documentation that proved that the Bush administration did do it. And we talked again to Robert Mazur, who was on the show yesterday. He also confirmed it. This is a guy who is in the know. He knows that the Bush administration and their wide receiver program was a failure. But consider this. I want to put you to compare and contrast.
Uh-huh.
The Bush administration's wide receiver program arrested 1,600 people. They tracked every gun.
Right.
They got every gun back, and they still considered it a failure because it never led to the prosecution of any cartel members.
Right.
The Obama administration sent over 2,000 guns, no tracking devices, lost 75% of the guns. 300 Mexicans died. The Mexican government was not involved, did not know about it, and a U.S. border agent and a DEA agent ended up losing their lives, and they're saying that it's no cover-up. Come on, compare and contrast. It's two different things.
It was a cover-up from the beginning because they never told the Mexican government about it.
Mm-hmm.
They never told. It was only the ATF that knew.
And the Department of Justice, as we've learned in email.
Yeah, and of course Eric Holder knew. He knew what was going on.
Well, I'm sure he did. He's a head honcho.
For a reason.
Yeah, he's a head honcho.
And
if he's guilty, go get him.
I'm with you. I don't trust anybody in our government either. I don't think our government is. Our government was put into place back when the government was created to protect us. And to be for the people, they will put in place to work for us.
Right.
Well, these jokers.
You're absolutely right,
us,
Mary.
These jokers got us working for them, killing ourselves like everybody out here is a slave.
I say it a thousand times. This is the reason why a lot of people who make this argument about the Constitution. This is the reason why the Constitution was developed. It was to protect us from our government because our government is not the most honest and most diligent facet of our country. They're not. The government is the problem. Ronald Reagan said it best.
Well,
the government's not the solution. Government's the problem.
That's why you have the Second Amendment. I mean, if you look at the Bill of Rights, you know, what's the Second Amendment? The right to keep and bear arms. Why? It's not. People like to say it's for self-defense and hunting and all that stuff. No, that's the wrong mindset. Second Amendment is there in case your government gets out of control, you can take up arms and kill them.
That's right. That's right. They cannot come into your home. They cannot come in and take your property. That is the purpose of the Constitution. I say this to a lot of African Americans. I said this when I was in jail for 2.5 years. These guys never understood it until they got into the situations they were in. The Constitution is a law that doesn't protect the government. It is protecting you from your government. That's what the Constitution is.
It doesn't grant you rights. It acknowledges rights that you have innately.
Exactly. Innate rights. Exactly. Inalienable rights. That's what the Constitution is about. I've talked about it over and over again, and I will always repeat that here. Our producer has finally gotten a signal. JC, the producer, you're here.
Yes, wow.
I mean, did you have a tornado run through Connecticut or something?
Yeah, what's going on, boss?
Man, no, I don't know. I just didn't have a signal all day.
Well,
you know what it is? I finally figured out where my microphone is.
What?
It's a long story, Mary.
JC, we've been doing this show since January.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Mary, it's a long story.
The mic. Which microphone are you talking about?
I'm not clear right. Mary just went total black. She said, "Which microphone is you talking about?"
Is you talking about?
Okay. I'm gonna
I must say, Mary, it rolls off your tongue very beautifully.
Doesn't it? Doesn't it, Nefertiti? Mm-hmm. Doesn't it? Mm-hmm. I told you she's blacker than I will ever be. I don't know what that's about.
She is absolutely ghetto.
Just who she is. It ain't even about that. It's just, you know, that's her essence.
Listen, she doesn't have blood. She's got pot liquor.
So Reese, did you say you were from Hollis, Queens?
I'm born and raised from Hollis, Queens, man.
So at Christmas time, did Mom cook up chicken and collard greens and mashed potatoes and macaroni and cheese?
A lot of people don't know this. When you listen to Run DMC's Christmas in Hollis, it's Christmas time in Hollis, Queens. Mom's cooking chicken and collard greens was exactly what Christmas was like in my home.
Kid, that's some good eating. Sure.
And that lyric was from the resident white guy. What do you think about that?
What'd you say, Mike?
And that lyric was from the resident white guy. What do you guys think about that?
Hey, listen.
Mary ain't the only black person on this show.
Listen to me. I got two white people on this show, and they are still more black than I am. How frightening is that?
I must say, Reese, you know, you definitely a nigga. You been to jail. You got a court date. No, you pretty black.
Ah!
What's that?
Exactly.
Yeah, how's your credit, Reese?
Probably about 550. Even might be about 550.
All right, we'll take a break. Nefertiti, when we go to break, I'm going to put you in the queue because I want you to talk to JC. I want him to know everything about your show because we want to promote, you know, even your show as well as Don Nicoleone's show as well. And, you know, we got to get a bond going up here. We love you guys. And JC, I've told him about you briefly yesterday, and we got to get a connection.
And Nefertiti, let me just put a little bug in your ear.
Mm-hmm.
I keep trying to get this Joker to move to California.
Man, Cali. Even though they say we broke, we really not.
Cali ain't broke.
Nah.
Cali far from broke.
Right.
Cali got good weather. I want to move to San Diego.
Well,
yeah. Boston broke.
Yeah, just so you know, I am from the East Coast, so, you know. Just want to go
from
Florida.
I want to throw a little dirt in the game. Yeah. A little bit of Biggie Smalls there for you California types. East Coast forever, baby. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. It's Reese on the Radio.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
That our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward. And the state of our union is strong.
Three years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours, a great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on the Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com. All over my face. What is a boy to do?
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
And we are back, bottom of the hour, 30 minutes after the hour, on blogtalkradio.com. It's a wacky, weird, wonderful Wednesday right here, June 27, 2012. Now I'm going to spend a little time. I got to spend a little time right now. Letting everybody know that tomorrow's show is going to be Reese on the Radio live on I-95. Mary and I are driving up to New York. Mary is going to do something incredible tomorrow. She's going to drive me up to New York on Thursday night, up to my court date on Friday.
And I'm putting his ass in the back seat like driving Miss Daisy.
She's going to put me in a car. She's going to drive me up. So from my cell phone, I will be live on Reese on the Radio live. It'll be Reese on the Radio live on I-95. And I will be broadcasting for 2 hours while we drive, because I don't drive well. Let me let all of you know, I don't drive well. I don't travel well at all. When I get on a plane, I got to have four shots of Doers before I get on a plane to fly anywhere. I have to be completely drunk before I get on a plane to fly anywhere because I don't like to fly. When I drive, on the other hand, I don't like to drive because I push the imaginary brake. You know, when there's traffic in front of you, I push the imaginary brake. I'm a horrible passenger. I don't drive. I'm 43 years old and I don't have a driver's license. I got to get one, but I don't have one. Never had one. Yeah, it's a shame. Now, Mary is going to be driving while I host the show live on I-95. That's what tomorrow's show is. Live on I-95 while I go up to New York. That's what the whole show is going to be tomorrow. You are going to witness Reese on the Radio live on the I-95. I'm going to be screaming at passengers driving with us on I-95. Hey, you stupid ass! What are you doing? What are you merging for? Mary, don't do that. What are you doing?
No. Let me tell you exactly how it's going to go down. We're going to get in traffic, or there's going to be somebody in front of me that I want to go faster so they can get out of my way, and I'm going to get close to them, and Reese is going to say, don't get so close to them. What if they hit on their brakes and you end up smashing into the back of them?
I don't like tailgating.
Don't get so close to them. Tailgating, it's not tailgating. It's pushing. I'm making them get out of the way. Move, bitch. Get out the way, bitch. Move, bitch. Get out the way.
Nice ludicrous reference. The bottom line is that I don't like people tailgating because I'm a driver.
I got full coverage.
I don't care if you have full coverage. Okay, folks, let me let you in on a little secret. Even though I've had a driver's permit, and I had it when I was 30, some 13 years ago, when I had a driver's permit, I had a rule on the road, and the rule on the road was this: everybody around you is a moron. And Nefertiti, you live in California, and I'll get you in a second. And I have you on hold. And I'll get you in a second. You live in California, so everything you do is driving.
And Mike lives in Florida.
And Mike lives in Florida. Everything he does is driving. And also, JC, he's in Connecticut. So all he does. So everybody on the show tonight, all they do is drive. So I have a rule. Everybody outside of your car is a freaking moron. And I'm always worried about what they're going to do. So I am an offensive, defensive driver.
No, you're a scared driver, which causes...
No. Relax. You've never seen me drive because I never drove your car. I never drove your car. If you let me drive your car, I drive better than you. You would say,
hey,
you're actually a pretty good driver.
You are bugging.
If I ever drove your car, you would say, wow, he's actually pretty good.
You're bugging. Get a driver's license.
But hold on. I've never driven your car, so you
that's
can't.
That's because you ain't got no license.
I know, but if I
and
did.
And if you get into an accident.
Hold on. I've driven since I'm 19 years old. And everybody says the same thing. When I've driven illegally for 19 years, over 19 years. And they all say the same thing. Wow, dude, you've never been pulled over. I had my own car. I had two of my own cars. I had a BMW 325i, and I had a Pontiac, what's the two-door version of that?
The Pontiac Firebird.
No, I had something else. I had a Pontiac something. I can't even remember because it's been so long.
A true crack-a-tastic vehicle.
Yes, it was. But hold on. I had both of those cars, and I drove them illegally. Even when I was on radio in New York, I drove them from New York to Jersey. Never been pulled over. Never gotten a ticket. And you want to know why? Because the cops had never, ever suspected me as a reckless or irresponsible driver. When I drive, people never pull me over because I follow the speed limit. I follow the rules. I know the rules better than anybody. Hold on. But ask anybody who's ever had a license, have they been pulled over? Have they ever gotten a speeding ticket? Have they ever gotten a ticket in general? They will say yes. Me, moron, never had a license. I drive better than you. Why? Because everybody around me is a moron.
Just because you've never gotten pulled over and you've never gotten a ticket doesn't mean you're a better driver.
Yes, that's the criteria,
no,
Mary.
It means your ass has better luck.
Mary, it's the criteria of
no.
you being
okay,
a better
let me,
driver.
Let me tell you something. If you get on 95 right here in DC, drive anywhere around here in the DMV area and do the speed limit, you will get slaughtered. People will be running over top of you. They will be beeping the horn for you to get out the way.
So what?
They'll be pushing you all over the place.
So what?
Because you will cause an accident. Nobody drives the speed limit.
Oh, you're
telling me
they drive more than the speed limit?
I don't. 95, the speed limit is 55 miles an hour. I go 80.
Why?
To keep up with the rest of the traffic, moron.
Well, why would you keep up with the rest of the traffic when it's...
Because you're keeping up with the rest of the traffic so that you don't cause an accident.
I'm going to let the guys in because I know they are dying to get in on this one. Listen to me. Danny DeVito in Get Shorty has a great line. Stop. Let me finish.
I'm like, don't talk to me about him driving because he needs a booster seat.
Danny DeVito has a great... Sorry, not Danny DeVito. Sorry. John Travolta has a great line to Danny DeVito in the movie Get Shorty. When he says, hold on, he says, no. John Travolta says to him that any meeting that starts without you isn't important enough for you to be there. And that's the way that I look at life. If you are rushing to get there so that you are late for whatever it is that you have to be for, if you have to be there because the meeting's going to start without you, it's not an important meeting to get to. You get my point? Is that there's no reason in life. Wait. There's no reason in life for you to rush. You get there safe or you don't get there. That's what I'm saying.
But it's not about rushing. I don't drive 80 miles an hour on 95 because I'm rushing. I will get in my car to get from point A to point B.
I know that.
Hold on. Let me finish. I allowed you to finish. Now,
yes,
let me finish.
I apologize. Go ahead.
I get in my car to get from A to B, not to sightsee, not to check out the scenery and see who's driving around me, and not to watch these idiots fly by me like bullets coming out of a machine gun 20 feet behind me. If I don't drive along with the traffic, nobody drives the speed limit. No one drives the speed limit. They either drive too slow under the speed limit or they drive too fast over the speed
limit. But you just said if the speed limit's 55, you do 80. That's
because
a considerable amount.
Because that's what the people have made the speed limit. They don't pay attention to that damn sign.
No, what about you? What about you?
I'm going along with the rest of the traffic. I got to do 80 or people are going to be flying around me and have the potential to hit me.
They won't crash into you, Mary. I think you have a very, very false narrative going on.
And I'm not getting in the car and doing 55. I might as well park my car, get out, and walk.
I don't agree with that. Let's talk to somebody from California who's had to deal with the traffic that's probably safe.
Washington, D.C. has the worst traffic.
You're right.
In
number
the
two.
World.
Number two worst traffic in the world. But California.
Right.
LA freeways have the number one worst traffic. Nefertiti. You hear our argument. What's your take on this?
I'm going out of side with Mary. I'm sorry. I gotta go with Mary.
And it's not a woman's thing. She's telling the truth.
Oh, why would even she's telling the truth? What
she
are
is.
You telling the truth? Are you telling me that you would rather speed than follow the rules of the road?
Absolutely. Give me the German Autobahn any day.
Exactly. When I go to Alabama to visit my sister, the speed limit there is 75. I love it. So I'm only going 5 miles over the speed limit. But then at 75, I probably do 85 or 90.
I'm telling you, the Autobahn A is one of the safest roads in the world. And
it
there's
is.
No speed limit. There's no speed limit.
You're absolutely right. You are right. And that's, to me, it still astonishes me.
And
that
people
statistic.
Are driving on the wrong side of the road or they're driving on the wrong side of the car.
It's astonishing to me that the Autobahn is the safest road in the world. And their speed limit is limitless. It's kind of crazy. I gotta throw Mike in from Florida. Mike.
Well, oh, man. First of all.
Mike ain't going to help you.
The reason the Autobahn and the Autostrada in Italy are so safe has F all to do with the fact that they're driving fast and everything to do with the fact that they know how to drive.
They know how to drive.
You can't be functionally retarded and get a driver's license in Germany. You don't get one until you're 18. It costs a buttload of money. Your car has to be inspected by the state before you can drive on it. And there are rules to the road.
Right.
There's a fast lane, a middle speed lane, and a slow lane. You cannot drive slow in the fast lane. You cannot drive fast in the slow lane. Now, let me address Mary's aggressive, psychopathic tailgating behavior.
Yeah, there you go. Come on, Mike, get her.
That's not pushing. That's tailgating.
Yes.
And it's illegal. It's illegal. You get caught, you will get a ticket.
Okay.
Okay. If you violate, baby, let me go now. If you violate the 2-second rule, as my daddy, the state trooper, taught me, you're in violation of the law.
Thank
you. And when people do that to me, you know what I do? Because I got nothing to do all day. I slow down.
Yeah, you slam on the brakes.
Now,
exactly.
Now,
if you get too close to me, baby, I will drop it down to 30 miles an hour and bounce between the fog line and the center line just to piss you off.
Mike, I do the same thing. I do the same thing to people that get behind me. But you know what? I'll get behind somebody in a minute, and not only do I push them, but I will put my lights on you.
I will brake check you and make
you
poop yourself.
You get the hell out of the way, because you shouldn't be in the fast lane. You shouldn't be in the fast lane.
Yeah, if you're in the fast lane, that's fine. What? You still don't get to put some. The way I look at it is, you're taking somebody else's safety into your hands.
That's right.
You are not a NASCAR driver.
That's right.
You are not Mary. You are not Mary. Mary Earnhardt Jr. You have no advanced driving skills. I would imagine you didn't go to stunt driving school. You're not a cop. You're not a race car driver. You don't know how to drive. I don't know how to drive.
But wait, hold on. I say this to Mary all the time. Anytime I drive with Mary, I always say the same thing to her. I said, listen, it's okay that you do this when you're in a car by yourself because you're comfortable with the way that you drive. But when you're driving with a passenger, you have to be considerate of the passenger in your car. They may not be comfortable with the driving tactics that you take. And
I've been rear-ended, okay?
Hold on. Then let me pull over and get your ass out my car.
Well, there you go.
I won't take a. If that's the case, I won't drive with you ever again. If I won't. If you will not consider me.
You can't regulate what's going on in my
I'm
car.
I'm not regulating. No, Mary. No. You're missing. Mary, you're missing the point. I'm not trying to regulate how you drive. What I'm asking you is that if I'm in your car and you are commuting together, I just want you to consider the fact that you have other lives in the car and you should not be so. I hate to use the word reckless, but please don't be so reckless.
It is a woman thing. Tailgating is a woman thing. I can't back it up with facts, but I can give you the knowledge my dad, the state trooper with 30 years on the job, said that women tailgate more than men.
Go ahead and say agents can't drive too while you're on top of it.
No,
because
agents,
that's a bunch of bull crap.
Agents can't drive except for that Fast and the Furious stuff. They can't drive. Straight up.
They can do that.
You know what? And Mexicans don't have car insurance either, if we're going to go there.
Hold on.
Wait a minute, Mike, I understand that you are probably disgruntled because you live in Florida and you got to deal with them old-ass elderly people all day long that shouldn't even be driving anymore. They shouldn't even
be. Oh, yeah, but you know where they come from, don't you?
They come from New York.
No, hold on.
They come from
now.
New York.
Wait. Let me tell you this. I born and raised in New York, went all the way through high school, moved to VA when I was 18, didn't even get a driver's license until I was 21, didn't learn how to really drive until
exactly.
I was
exactly.
Yeah, which is why
so
we should really be suspect
of this. I don't even like driving in New York. We going to New York tomorrow. I'm not happy that I'm driving. I would
she
rather
hates
take
it there.
The bus.
They move here after not driving for 30 years, and they buy a Lincoln, and they look through the steering wheel.
Exactly. Let's take a call. 347-308-8701. Edward in Connecticut, you're all with Reese on the radio.
Hey, how's it going, Reese?
What's up, Edward?
Hey, I got to say I agree totally with Mike. You know, driving up behind someone like that is just, you know, putting both of your lives in danger. You know, I don't do it at all. It's crazy.
I love
it. Hey, Edward, it's a woman thing.
Nefertiti, do you push assholes out of the way when they're in your way?
Absolutely, and if you're in the fast lane, you better get over it. You better get over it.
Women, it's the same reason women aren't fighter pilots or artillery gunners. You have no ability to judge oncoming distance.
Oh, no, they should be. Actually, if the women were in those positions, I tell you, boy, you have a lot more casualties and everything
that's
else.
Why,
boy,
that's,
we,
why
we
can't
shot.
Hit a, that's why you can't hit a
yeah,
fastball.
Yeah, casualties would be the wrong people, though.
Exactly.
No, I'm not even going to go there. I'm not going to. It might be some
and
cold military
week,
people.
1 week out of the month, 1 week out of the month, your whole pilot crew is grounded.
Oh, that's when our height, that's when our awareness is at its highest. What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
You know what? See, I love this conversation. Anytime we talk about driving, that really, really piques the interest of most Americans, that driving crap. But nonetheless, you're going to hear me. When we're on the road tomorrow, guys, when we're on the road on Reese on the Radio tomorrow, live on I-95, you're going to hear me. Yo, Mary, why are you tailgating him? Get out the back lane. What are you doing? You're going to hear me in the middle of the show. I promise you. You have to listen to tomorrow's show. It's going to be live from I-95, and you're going to watch the paranoia take place.
I think you should have 3 or 4 shots of Hennessy before you take off.
I may have to.
Oh, hell no. I don't get to drink. He ain't getting a drink. If he takes 4 shots, I'm taking 4 shots. Get in the car with me now.
Oh, yeah. It's never happened. I'm flying to New York after that.
Let me stop. I don't promote drinking and driving.
Yeah,
don't
please.
Drink and drive.
Thank
promote
you.
That.
Don't promote
I don't
that.
Do that. I don't get down with that.
When we get back.
Hi, Bill Maher here. Sarah Palin agreed to do commentary at Fox News, which is actually very similar to her day job, talking to a baby with Down syndrome.
Speaking of dumb f***s,
it's not because they have breasts, it's because they are boobs.
I hope Sarah Palin gets in so that they split the MILF vote.
That's not sexist.
I would like to announce a donation to the Obama Super PAC.
I thought about Malia and Sasha. I want them to be able to speak their mind in a civil and thoughtful way, and I don't want them attacked or called horrible names because they're being good citizens.
I would like to give that PAC $1 million. Sarah Palin, the strange family of inbred weirdos. Levi, over and over until the baby fell out. The Maverick and the Milk. They fined CBS $1 million for Janet Jackson's nipple. Think what they could get for Hillary Clinton's cut. That's not sexist.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse.
She is the chair of the Democratic National Committee.
I don't know any woman in America that thinks that being called a slut is funny.
Please welcome Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Being part of a democracy involves argument and disagreements and debate, and there's a way to do it that doesn't involve you being demeaned and insulted.
Speaking of dumb fucks, this is a Category 5 moron we have on our hands, and I am unapologetic.
Top 10 highlights of Sarah Palin stripped in New York City. Number 2, bought makeup at Bloomingdale's, updated her slutty flight attendant look.
I'm going to try to lead by example.
During the 7th inning, her daughter was knocked up by Alex Rodriguez.
To send a message to all our young people, I'm going to try to lead by example.
Speaking of dumb quads,
Marr decided to help President Obama out and give him a financial boost.
He's donated $1 million.
Last week, I said goodbye to $1 million.
I made a contribution to Obama's super PAC.
This ends up being a teachable moment.
I wouldn't put anything past this stupid country.
All decent folks can agree the remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse. I'm going to try to lead by example in this situation.
You're seeing a president adopt policies which affect our economy based not upon what's right for the American worker, but instead what's right for their politics. The National Labor Relations Board, now stacked with union stooges selected by the president, says to a free enterprise like Boeing, you can't build a factory in South Carolina because South Carolina is a right-to-work state. That is simply un-American. It's political payback of the worst kind. It is wrong for America, and it is something that will stop under my administration. I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
My name's Jimmy Rebel. This first number's a song I wrote. It's very near and dear to me, and it's about niggers.
A one, a two, a one, two, three. Step back, silverback, hold on, Blackie. Steal some gas for your Cadillac-y. Hit downtown with them coons and clowns. Just stay away from me. Laquita, Shanita, and Jamal. Orangelo, Mangelo, and Tylenol. Grab an orange soda and a basketball. Just leave my daughter be. Keep to yourself. Stay away from mine. Open your eyes and mouth so I can see you shine. Open up your nose. Put in a fresh bone. Just leave my snow-driven beauty, Caucasian cutie, pure, demure, and classically snooty, sweet black daughter alone, nigger.
It's Reese on the Radio, 8 minutes to the top of the hour. Okay, I'm going to play this audio, and this is our segment of the show. It's a new segment that we do on the show. It's called This is Racist. And this comes live from Jimmy Kimmel, Louis C.K. Louis C.K.
Now that, well, wait. Now you just played that audio of that song.
Yes.
This is, as far as racism goes,
yes,
that's a hard act to follow.
It is.
That's a tough act to follow. I can't even believe that you're going to follow that with this.
I have to. Now, this is
It was written by a black man, probably sang by a black man.
Yes, it was. It sang by a black guy. But this is Louis C.K. on Jimmy Kimmel Live last night. Mary and I both watched this, and we talked about it when we saw it. We said, whoa, that was racist. Now, we're going to get the opinion of you guys after we play this audio, and you're going to tell us whether or not this was a racist comment on live television.
Like, she's a professional. Like, she's a professional, and she wants me to kind of step up. So there's, a scene there later in the season where she's trying to get me to get a real job. And when a black woman tells you to get a job, it's just more. Get a job. Like, it just hurts more.
Louis C.K. is talking about the black woman who plays his wife on his show, Louis C.K., on the FX channel. And he's talking about the black woman who plays his wife and says that the black woman telling him to get a job is just really, really tough to deal with. Here's the whole entire audio. Listen to this.
I have to play the person, and I didn't care. And as far as her being black, the only thing, she's very different from my ex-wife in real life. My ex-wife and I have a great relationship. I feel lucky that I'm raising kids with her. I really do. But this woman is harsher on the show, and she's puts a lot of pressure on me. Like, she's a professional, and she wants me to kind of step up. So there's a scene there later in the season where she's trying to get me to get a real job. And when a black woman tells you to get a job, it's just more. Get a job. Like, it just hurts more.
When a black woman tells you to get a job, it just hurts more. Now.
Well,
what that meant is what?
What about the chuckling that went on
with Jimmy?
As they, as he said that, they both kind of like a light bulb went off in their heads, and they both both looked at each other and just started chuckling. And then homeboy tried to kind of save it just with the tone that he used and with the following words, but it was definitely I think it was racist.
You think it was racist? Let's let Nefertiti go first, because she's got the most African name out of everybody on the show tonight. Nefertiti, don't you think that what he said was racist a little bit?
Louis C.K. Louis, whoever he is, I've actually watched the show a couple of times. He's a comedian. He's a comedian.
But wait a minute.
He works with Chris Rock. I don't think he was racist. I mean,
no.
No,
he's a bleeding heart liberal.
I don't think that what he said made him be a racist.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that what he said
was racist.
Like, that statement had definitely some racial overtones.
Like, meaning that since a black woman said it, it hurt more.
Yeah, he said having a black woman tell you to get a job hurts more. Well, what does that mean? Why does it hurt more?
I'll tell you what it means.
Go ahead, Mike.
I don't think Louis's racist. I don't think he meant it in a racist way, because he's pretty liberal. What he meant is that he's playing to the stereotypes that black women don't take any shit. That's
true.
That
I wasn't going to say it, but you're
dealing with Michelle Obama, you know. But I will tell you what the most racist thing I've heard in the last week is, okay? This is a good one. When President Obama spoke in front of the National Association of Latino Elected Officials, the Secret Service made them give up their knives. That's racist, because the Mexicans can't have knives.
You're absolutely right.
I said the same thing when I heard about it. But to go back to what you said, Mike, so even if it was to say that, black women don't take no shit, so what? That would be kind of racist to white women. So what, you think because I'm white, I'm going to take your shit?
I mean, that's what black comedians say all the time is, you know, I got me a white. That's what Pryor used to say, that you can get away with a lot more shit with a white woman than you could with a sister.
Okay, I understand that, and everybody still does say that, and that's okay. People can think what they want to think. I'm okay
right.
with it. I know who I am. And
exactly, man. They always say, if it don't apply, let it fly.
I'd rather deal with Laura Bush than Michelle Obama, just saying.
That's some bullshit. But
that's a personal preference.
Let's put it like this: that's a personal preference, correct?
No, Michelle Obama looks like she would kick your ass, and Laura Bush looks like she'd be nice and accommodating.
Absolutely. I mean, she's a library teacher. We're a librarian.
You're saying that Michelle Obama, she would probably take it to that ass where Laura Bush would tell you to take a time out.
Exactly.
Edward in Connecticut.
I took a little different take from that little clip you played. I think he was trying to say that, you know, black women should be used to men that don't have a job. What are you complaining about?
That could have been that, too. I can see that.
That's exact.
Well, yeah, but black women aren't used to black men being around at all, so it's kind of a moot point.
Man, that's some bullshit right there.
This is the truth. Come on now.
Well, that's some bullshit. See, that's a stereotype, man. For real, real time. That's a stereotype, man. I've been with my husband for 15 years. I tell you, it's plenty of black men
you know
around.
What? Even a broken clock is right twice a day.
Oh my God!
Hey, Nefertiti, that's what they say on your show. I've seen your instant messages, and they say that all the time. Even a broken clock is right twice a day.
Right.
They say that all the time.
Yeah, even a garbage can get a T-bone steak once in a while, right? Yeah.
Well, Nefertiti, do me a favor. At the end of the show, because I'm going to let you promote everything, please, promote everything on your show right now while we're going off the air. Please, Nefertiti, thank you for spending at least 2 hours with us, because I appreciate you.
Absolutely, no problem, Reese. It was a pleasure. It was all mine. Like I said, you showed up big time today. I appreciate that. You know, we don't get a ton of mail callers. We get some because a lot of brothers are scared to get on the line with us. So a lot of them don't get on the line, but you did. And like I said, man, we had WGAG Radio on Blog Talk. You got the Donna Colleone Show. She runs her show Monday through Friday, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's a four-hour show. You're going to get everything. You're going to get entertainment. You're going to get politics, and you're going to get it all. I mean, just expect the unexpected. On my show, Nefertiti Surviving the Game, I am a sports enthusiast, so you get your sports and you get the real. So that's how we do it. And I'm on the Donna Colleone Show Mondays and Fridays where I give my sports spiel, and that's how we do. So come check us out. We have a good time. And don't be afraid, because you're going to hear stuff you never heard before.
Exactly. I call them the Millie Jacksons of radio. I love these women. I love what it is that they do. Go ahead, Mary.
Well, Nefertiti, I have to say it was definitely a pleasure to have another female on the show, because most of the time I'm the only chick.
Yeah.
Well, you holding it down. You holding it up, Mary. It was great meeting everybody on the panel.
Hell, Nefertiti, I might call you guys show.
All right.
I know they will.
Be forewarned. So. That's all I can say is be forewarned.
I love it. I love it. I love you guys. Our friendly neighborhood white guy, Mike, Ed in Connecticut. Edward in Connecticut. We love it. JC, the producer. Mary, Mary, why you bugging? For everybody. And, of course, Nefertiti, who is our guest host today. I'm Reese on the radio. We love you. We'll see you tomorrow live from I-95. Make sure that you're there, because it's going to be scary.
And we're back to Hannity. Now, as we explained in our last segment, Democrats not only refuse to practice what they preach.
We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow.